1983, and I was inside George Diamond's steakhouse with my dad. It was dark outside. He had been speaking for hours. "Gary," my father whispered. I lifted my eyes to meet his. They were wet, too. My dad let out a long sigh. I guess that was the long answer to your question of whether I reported to Greenville. All I could do was nod. After all these years, I finally understood my father. Baseball broke my heart, and I was afraid you would follow in my footsteps. I didn't want you to run the risk of being hurt, so I did everything I could to steer you away from baseball. The Pirates, he shrugged his shoulders, they gave me a fair shot. I could have. I would have made it. But life is so strange. It's shaped by brief and unexpected moments that spin you in a different direction. An instant, he snapped his fingers, can change everything. The friendship game with the German sailors? What would have happened if I just stopped at third and not slid it home to score in the game that was meaningless? Dad stared down at the table, lost in his own thoughts for several seconds. But had I done so, we would have lost the game. If I had a chance to score and win and didn't take it, well, I just could not have done that. It isn't in me. So instead, my life was forever altered. It was one of those brief moments that changed everything forever. I nodded again, but did not say a word. I wanted to hear more, and I sensed he still had more to explain to me. Maybe more to explain to himself. I served my purpose, though, Dad continued. I got Ray Laws to the majors. Those seven words brought a wide smile to Gene's face. They had no choice but to let me go. I know it today. I knew it then. But that didn't make it any easier when it happened, and it didn't get any easier as the years passed. His eyes filled with tears that finally, after all these years, began to run down his cheeks. He looked up and smiled. So yes, I reported to Greenville, and now you know. I exhaled and leaned back in my chair. It felt as though I had been holding my breath for hours. My head was spinning. What shocked me was that my dad, the once great Gene Moore, was embarrassed by his past. At the same time, I was struck by both the integrity of the man and the burden he had been carrying for all these decades. Does Mom know all of this? I finally managed to ask. Of course she does, he replied. She knows everything about me. How did you meet her? It was only at that instant, when the words slipped from my mouth, that I realized I didn't even know how my parents had met. He pursed his lips for a second or two and said, Well, again, it was one of those brief moments that changed your life. He looked up and caught the waitress' attention. May we get one more cup of coffee, please? Gary? Yes, please. I didn't return to Cesar, my father continued, picking up the story where he had left off. I walked out of the locker room in Greenville and wandered around the South for a bit, doing odd jobs and mostly bartending and such. It took me more than a year to slowly work my way back home. At that time, I felt like I had no purpose for my life. Really, I didn't care if I lived or died. I started drinking again, a lot. By the time I got as far as Salem, Illinois, I was in terrible shape. He paused and thought for a few seconds, as if wondering whether or not to share some slice of his past with me. Your mom, or the woman who would one day be your mom, found me lying on a barroom floor. I think that's closer to being dead than alive. And why in the world she did what she did, well, she's never fully explained to me. She nursed me back to health and got me back on my feet. Your mom saved my life. I don't know what would have happened to me and where I would be now without her. Tell me more, I urged him. Tell me more about you and Mom. As it turned out, Judy Jenkins and Gene Moore had a lot in common. Both had come of age during the Great Depression, and both had endured their share of heartaches and setbacks. Judy had been married to a man who beat her. She left him and took their three boys, Kenneth, Carl, Ray, and David, and got a job waiting tables in the bar and grill where she found Dad one night passed out on the floor. Judy had a friend named Ed, who owned the local hardware store. She convinced him to hire Gene as a delivery man. Judy and Gene began to rely on each other in many ways. Mom suffered the loss of her middle son, my brother Carl Ray, to polio in 1952. It was Dad who helped her through her grief. Dad never got over the loss of his baseball career, and Mom never got over the loss of Carl Ray to polio. Early in 1953, Gene moved to Kankakee, Illinois, to try and find a better-paying job. When he was hired at the ammunition plant in Joliet, he sent for Judy and her kids. Their mutual dependency grew into a strong relationship. Late in November 1953, Judy broke the news to Gene that she was pregnant. Warren Eugene Gene Moore and Elnora Judy Jenkins married on November 27, 1953, at the Kankakee County Courthouse in Kankakee, Illinois. Gene's sister Irma and her husband Francis served as witnesses. Gene and Judy were now set to begin building their life together. Gene switched jobs shortly thereafter and began delivering bread. Gary Warren Moore was born on July 21, 1954. As we left the restaurant, I could not shake a question that had been nagging me for a while. If Dad had not broken his ankle, he never would have met Mom, and the family I loved so much would never have come into existence. We climbed into the car where we looked at one another without speaking. I finally turned the key and slowly pulled out of the parking lot. Dad noticed how quiet I was. For a while, he didn't say anything. After a long bout of silence, he said, "Something else is bothering you, Gary. Is there anything else you want to know?" "Yes, there is," I replied with some hesitation. Was I afraid of the answer? I think I was. "Do you wish your life had been different?" He knew what I meant and pondered my question for a while. Let me finish the story.
Chapter 41, Old Friends. Bradley, Illinois, June 13, 1959. Gene hadn't bothered changing out of the blue shirt and dark blue trousers, which was the uniform of a bakery delivery driver, before heading over to Skinny's Tap in Bradley, Illinois. He always worked until 2 p.m. on Saturday, completing his rounds early. Tired, he sank into his bar stool and sipped from his glass of RC Cola. "Hear this song, Skinny?" Gene asked. "Yeah, it's Gotta Travel On, by Billy Grammer," Skinny answered. "It's a big hit. They play it on the radio all the time. What about it?" "I grew up with Billy. He was my best friend when I was a kid up until the war broke out, and then we lost contact." Skinny dropped his mouth open. "You don't say. Are you kidding with me?" Gene nodded. "He used to sit in the bleachers and play his guitar and watch us play ball back at the lumberyard in Cesar. He was great then. But now, he's the best in country and western music. I always knew he'd make it big, and he did." Gene paused and sighed. "Billy's living his dream." Skinny still wasn't convinced. "Come on, Gene, you know Billy Grammer?" he asked. "I've never met anyone who was famous." "Yeah, I knew Billy real well. We were good friends, and I've met someone famous," continued Gene. Skinny's eyebrows shot up. "Who?" "I used to play ball with Ray Laws." Skinny raised his hand and waved away what he believed to be an obvious lie and then began to chuckle. "Okay, you had me going there for a second. Now you're going to tell me you grew up with Ray Laws and he married your sister? Ray's one of the best relievers in baseball today. That forkball pitch of his." Gene studied his glass of soda. When he answered, his voice was soft and low, but his eyes were raised and staring directly into Skinny's. "No, I didn't grow up with him. I was his catcher for almost 4 years in the Navy, and then for a season in the minors in Greenville, Mississippi. I helped him move from the minors to the Pirates. I caught his perfect game in Greenville." Skinny's eyes narrowed as he listened to Gene's answer. "Yeah, I heard from someone a while back you played some ball in the minors, but you never talk about it. I didn't know you played with Ray, though," replied the bartender as he shook his head and began to wash glasses behind the bar. "That's really something, Gene. Boy, there's a story for you kids someday." Gene nodded without speaking. He was watching the Cubs play on the small black and white TV above the bar when another customer walked in and approached Skinny at the other end of the bar. "Excuse me, I'm looking for Gene Moore. Do you know him?" Skinny looked up from his work at the sink and eyed the man warily. His accent was heavy, foreign, and he was dressed in clothes that did not look local. Skinny slowly nodded in Gene's direction. The familiar voice had already caught Gene's ear, and he was slowly turning to see a face he never thought he would see again. "Heinrich? Heinrich Mueller?" Gene jumped from his stool and knocked it to the floor in a hurry to get up and greet the German. Both men stood for several awkward seconds, unsure of how they would greet one another. They shook hands, leaned this way and that, and finally embraced in a heartfelt hug. "What in the world are you doing in Bradley, Illinois?" asked Gene as he stepped back and looked at the man he had not seen in 14 years and never thought he would see again. "How did you get here? How did you find me?" Heinrich sighed and used his hands when he talked, as he always had. "Well, you see, there are many reasons for my visit. I wanted to come back to America, only this time, as a friend and not a prisoner," he laughed. "I also wanted to see my old friend, Gene Moore." Gene motioned for Heinrich to sit down. "Let me buy you a drink." "Judy won't believe this. You have to meet her." Gene looked at the German and shook his head. He was as dumbfounded by the man's sudden appearance as he had been when Frank Boudreau stepped into Bruno's 10 years earlier. "What are you drinking?" asked Heinrich as he sat down next to Gene. "I'm watching baseball, so I'm drinking RC," Gene laughed. Old habit, I guess. I never drink when watching baseball. Would you like a beer? Heinrich shook his head. No, I find American beer... Well, I'll have what you're having. Skinny had not missed a word of the conversation, so when Heinrich finished speaking, he left and returned with an RC Cola, which he deposited on the bar in front of Heinrich, along with a glass of ice. Skinny eyed the stranger suspiciously. He had never seen anyone who had fought for the Germans in World War II. Heinrich nodded his thanks to Skinny and turned back to Jean. It is a day of surprises. Judy and I have already met. I left Julia, my wife, and our son at your house with Judy. We have been visiting there for 2 hours now, waiting for you to finish working. Judy dropped me off here, but said I should come inside alone. Jean chuckled and shook his head. You're kidding. You've been at my house with Judy? And Gary Warren and Deborah Jean, Heinrich said. You have a fine family, my friend. We both have much to be thankful for. Heinrich raised his glass of soda, and Jean did likewise. How did you get to my house? Jean asked. We have time, yes? Heinrich asked. Jean nodded. My old boat, the 505, is now on display at your Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. You can't imagine our surprise, or our embarrassment, when we learned after the war you Americans actually captured it. We were sure it had sunk. Now we understand why we were kept away from everyone else, and were not allowed to send letters home. We didn't know much either, Jean replied. Heinrich nodded and continued. When we received news the boat was saved and put on display, we made plans and traveled from Germany to see it. It was a hard decision, harder than I thought it might be. She looks good, but the memories, the pain of that day... Ah, well, is past, Heinrich said, clapping his hands once in front of him and wiping his palms against one another several times as if washing them. But how did you find me? Asked Jean. The world is a much small place today, he continued. You told me where you live several times, Cesar, Illinois, and that it was close to Chicago. I never forgot that. I explained to the staff at the museum about you, and they helped me find your telephone number. I called and spoke with Judy. She invited us to your home. She thought it would be a good surprise. Jean just shook his head in amazement. It's a wonderful surprise, he replied. I think of you often, of course, but when I read they were moving your boat to Chicago... What was it, 4 or 5 years ago now? I began to hope somehow we would meet again. Last year I met another old friend. His name is Buck Nelson. He was my coach in the Navy. He was on one of the destroyers that captured U-505. He visited the sub and called me when he was in town. He's doing great. Owns an insurance agency in Indianapolis. Jean lifted his glass, drained what was left, and asked Skinny to bring another bottle of cola. He turned back to his friend. I'm sure glad they saved that old U-boat. Heinrich lifted his glass. I will drink to that. Jean lifted his glass of ice, and together they clinked glasses. Are you still playing football? Jean asked. Heinrich shook his head. Football is over for me. As you can imagine, my country was in shambles, and there was no organized league when I returned, and no time to play games. The British would not let me, German, play. I got a position teaching English at what you would call high school here, and I coach football there. But... I no longer play, and that's fine. I have Julia and our new son. Many times aboard U-boats I was sure I was dead, but managed to jump off the devil's shovel over and over again. Life is good for old Lucky Heinrich. Both men laughed. Jean stopped first and became suddenly pensive. Heinrich, I'm sorry. I know football was your life. At least that's what you told me in Louisiana. Heinrich shot Jean a puzzled glance. No, football was not my life, he said slowly as he shook his head. It was something I did. I enjoyed playing football very much. I was good at it, but it was never who I was. I did not define myself by a game. Now my life is Julia and my son. They are all that is important to me now. Football, he shrugged. It's a game. So I kick the ball into the net. What does it prove? What does it mean? Does it put food on my plate? Does it raise my son? Does it rebuild the country I love and erase the terrible mistakes we made? Now I teach Jean to kick the ball into the net. Now it was Jean's turn to shoot Heinrich a look of bewilderment. Thank you, but I can't play baseball anymore because of my ankle, so I'm sure I can't kick a ball. Heinrich laughed. I don't mean you, Jean. I mean my son. My little Jean. I named my son after you. I name him after the great Jean Moore. His name is Warren Eugene Mueller, and we call him Jean. Jean was nearly speechless. I don't know what to say, Heinrich, other than how honored that makes me feel. I can't wait to meet your family. May we leave soon, then, and go to your home? Heinrich said. There we will all meet. Jane nodded. Yes, but tell me first how you can say football was not important to you. From our long conversations on the ball diamond, I got the impression it was all you cared about. All you wanted to do. Heinrich paused and thought carefully before answering. Let me say it this way, Jane. Today, I miss football, but care more about my family and the present. I told your wife, Judy, that I was there when you broke your ankle. She told me how sad you are about not playing baseball and that you think about it every day, all day, and that it's eating you up inside. I understand this feeling, Jane, but think for a moment, he continued, placing a forefinger against his temple and tapping it several times. If you were playing baseball on the radio or television right now, you would not have met Judy. You would not have had your three children and a fourth on the way. You cannot know what else might have happened to you. Maybe something worse than what did happen, yes? This makes sense to you. Jane listened to each word before tilting his head back to look at the ceiling. He sighed and faced his friend. I know. I know what you're saying is logical and true, but Heinrich, you don't fully understand. Baseball was my destiny. It's what I was supposed to do. It was the only thing I could do. Heinrich lifted his shoulders and held them in a high shrug for several seconds. So now be a good father and a good husband. Judy loves you because of who you are, not because of what you once could do. Baseball used you for your talent, and once it was used up, it did not need you anymore. Your family will always need you, Jane. I learned from you while I was your prisoner. You think you taught me how to play American baseball, but you, and even Ray Laws, taught me much more. Now maybe I can teach you something. Baseball was not your life, and it never was. I don't believe a game was ever your destiny, or you would be playing it today. Your game was only a path that led you to your destiny, which is your life with your family. Jane listened and knew every word was true, but accepting reality had always been difficult. Heinrich, you don't fully understand what I had in the palm of my hand. Jane, hear me, Heinrich said, putting out a hand and gently holding his friend's upper arm. After all that happens on this earth, our lives are only about who we love, who loves us, and what we build together. You have confused baseball with life and love it too much, and so you are only a bitter man, sitting alone in a bar. Love your family, and you build something for the ages. Heinrich drained the last swallow of RC from his glass and continued, Jane, you have something priceless. You have a wife who picked you up when you were down. She told me the whole story. She gave you strength to stand up again. She loves you and does not care if you catch or hit a ball. You have adopted Judy's youngest son. You are going to give him a wonderful life. Yes, I love him as if he were my own, Jane said. He could feel his eyes tearing up. Yes, of course a man like you would. You are their provider, their teacher, and the living example they have of how a man should live his life. That is more important than any game or any team. Your family is now your team, yes? Jane nodded his head. Yes, I guess so. Good, replied Heinrich. Then you must teach and lead your family the same way you taught and led your baseball team. To Jane, the realization of what Heinrich told him felt like a punch in the gut. He didn't know how to respond and did not trust himself to make eye contact with Heinrich. Let me ask you a question, Jane, Heinrich asked. Do you love Judy? Jane slowly turned his head and looked at Heinrich. Of course I do. Do you love David, Gary, and Deborah Jean? Yes, of course. If you had not broken your ankle, where would you be today? Jane thought for a moment. I would probably be catching for the Dodgers or with some other professional team in the majors. Yes, Heinrich said. I suppose you would be, given how good you were. Heinrich was beginning to wonder if Jane would ever fully understand what he was trying to tell him. Jane Moore, if you had to make a choice right now, a choice between playing baseball or having your family, this very family that you have, which would you choose? The question caught Jane off guard. I don't have to make that choice, he slowly replied. If I did, my choice would be to have both my baseball career and my family. But that is not an option, Jane. The loss of your career led you to this wife and family. Yes, you could have a career without your broken ankle, and you may have had a family, but not this family. Judy told me how you met. Do you not see the hand of God at work here, bringing you together? It sounds like Judy may have saved your life. You were brought together at a time when you needed her. But she also needed you at the very same time. Do you believe that this was chance? Heinrich leaned closer and looked Jean firmly in the eye. It was not an accidental meeting. It was meant to be. So I ask you again, which would you choose? Jean's eyes slowly filled with tears, but this time he did not turn away. I wouldn't trade this family for anything. Not for money, not for fame, and not for baseball. Heinrich smiled and patted his arm. You now have exactly what you want in life, and know it is more important than any game.
Thank you, Jean whispered.
There is nothing for you to thank.